Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, Prophecy Fulfilled in Jesus. Thank you to Ed, Jeff, Aisha, and Don for being part of the service. The scripture reading is 2 Peter 1, 19-21. Happy birthday this week to Daniel and to Christopher.
Peter 2, chapter 1, verse 19-21. We also have the prophet's message of something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns, and the morning stars rise in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture comes about by the prophet's own inscriptions of something, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us today. The word prophecy shows up in the Bible often, but it's difficult to really grasp what it means. The voices of prophets such as Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, echo through pages of the Old and New Testaments, each prophet uniquely contributing to the unfolding story of salvation, redemption, and the fulfillment of God's promises right up to this very day. So we read Old Testament prophecy, and it brings us to Jesus coming into the world, and it brings us to us even today. So it's a unique word that I want to spend some time talking about today. It's declaring the loving word of God, primarily so. But there are prophecies that are fulfilled in Jesus. And this amazed me today, as it has all this past week, that there are some, listen to this, 351 Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled in Jesus. Now, no worries, we're not going to look at 351 of them, but they're all there. From Old Testament to New Testament to coming together. And if that's a little bit confusing, I think it'll come clear. In Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And then in Galatians 4, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of God's love, both men and women coming together in love. And then the bodily assumption of heaven. In Genesis chapter 5, way back at the beginning, listen to this. This is an interesting man. How many of us know of a man by the name of Enoch? Not too many, but Enoch walked with God. And then it says, and then he was no more. It doesn't mean that he died. It doesn't mean he was put into the ground. It was meant he's not here anymore. Walked with God. So in Mark chapter 16, it says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, Jesus was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Now, we probably know all of this, but what's interesting to me, and I was amazed at it every day this past week, how Old Testament and New Testament seem so different, and yet they're all together coming together as one. There's this unity in Old and New Testament alike, and the prophecies all being fulfilled. 351 prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus alone. Quite remarkable. So in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, the seed of Abraham will bless all nations. And then in Galatians, New Testament, it says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations, because of him, will be blessed through Christ. And we receive that even today. So how many of us remember the name Melchizedek? Go ahead and spell it. I tried it three or four times and I couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. But Melchizedek was one of these interesting fellows. He just appeared. Melchizedek. He just appears. Fulfilled in the Old Testament. Jesus went before us and entered on our behalf. He, Jesus, became a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We don't normally think of Jesus and Melchizedek coming together as one, but Melchizedek was a priest, a divine priest, just as the priest of all priests is, of course, Jesus. Old and New Testament prophecies coming together. I mean, way, way back in the Old Testament. You can't get further than the book of Genesis. In chapter 14, there's Melchizedek again. This guy that just shows up. And everybody seems to know him. And seems to know that he's a priest. And seems to know that he has this wonderful connection with God. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and again, one more time, he says, and he was the priest of God Most High. Think about that. God has a priest. This uniqueness of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Angels that are still doing wonderful works in the world today. Going way back in the past to even today, a Melchizedek. One who, where did he come from? I don't know, but he knows everything. Referring, obviously, to Jesus. So, in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob has this dream, which he saw. A stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and of course, the angels were ascending and descending, up and back. That's not the easiest thing to do. If you have a ladder and it's going up, one person's going up, another person's coming down, it doesn't really work. But in this case, it obviously does. And God himself will provide a lamb of the offering. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and then continues with, he has this dream. I saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending on it. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that angels no longer exist. Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who are receiving salvation? Really, really remarkable. So in John chapter 1, in verse 51, it says, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God, as we've said, ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The whole lesson today, looking back at Old Testament being fulfilled in the New Testament and will be fulfilled in our time, if it's when God brings it about, to what's continually going to happen this remarkable experience of prophecy. 351 prophecies, all being fulfilled in Jesus. Let's go back one more time, back to the beginning. Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting the earth from the top, reaching to heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending on it. Just picture it. And then in John 1, it says, I tell you the truth. Listen, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, meaning Jesus. Angels are all around us. They minister the work of God. God lives inside us. Jesus lives inside us. The Holy Spirit in us. And we sometimes forget about it. I mean, wouldn't it be a good idea every once in a while to just sit off by yourself, maybe have a cup of coffee, and talk to God, and then talk to Jesus, and then talk to the Holy Spirit, and then talk to loved ones who are with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one day it'll be our turn. Won't it be remarkable that we're never left alone? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. Loved ones who have passed are still with us. We'll see them again. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending. And I can see bringing loved ones to God the Father. And then way, way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 5, where it says that Christ basically is our Passover, the animals for sacrifice must be, very specific, a year-old males of sheep with no defect, none. And yet the Hebrew writer then says, how much more then will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? The blood of Jesus, which we just finished, taking that little cracker, sipping that little grape juice, representing the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, talked about even way back in the Old Testament, Christ being our Passover. And then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. The Bible doesn't take long before the word blood is being used. Sacrifices of the blood, but the greatest sacrifice, of course, is the blood of Jesus. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Okay, now I have to stop. I could quote that all day long. But forget the quoting. Let it really come to rest in our heart. But if we walk in the light, God is light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, friendship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, he purifies us. Purified. He purifies, makes us clean from all sin because of him. Not just back then, but this very day. So I started looking at some of the Bible books. I went to the Psalms and found a gazillion of them. Lots of Psalms that talk about this. Psalm chapter 16, he says, I will not be shaken, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so you've got Old Testament scripture talking about horrible things and yet coming together as one to be beautiful things. Chapter 18, 49 and 50. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his kings great victories, and he shows unfailing kindness to his anointed and his descendants forever. It's really God coming to us, kissing us on our cheeks. He knew us before we were born. He knows us now, and we will see him face to face along with our loved ones. Descendants? No. They are with us forever. Matthew 16, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked his disciples this question. Who do people say Jesus is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? How do you answer that? Is God the Father? He's God the Son? He's God the Holy Spirit? He's got all that together. But that's not what they said. They replied, some, Jesus, some say that you're John the Baptist. But that's not true because they know John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah. Well, no, Jeremiah's been gone for a while. One of the prophets. And then he says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And I think Jesus asks us this question on occasion. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, Simon, you're blessed. You're blessed because this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father who is in heaven. And then these words, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on that statement, this rock, I will build my church. Now listen, and the gates of hell, sometimes said Hades, the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Satan can do his best, but he'll never break through it. Never. God welcomes us into his kingdom, never to shy away from the love of God, the love of Jesus, love of the Holy Spirit, continually working in our lives. I think I've tried to do my best to quit saying, wasn't that lucky? I've quit saying that. God is with us. He intends the best for us so that we can share these wonderful scriptures to others. Francis of Assisi, young, wealthy, high-born, high-spirited, was out riding one day. He meets a leopard, loathsome, repulsive, decomposing while alive. And something moved Francis to dismount and fling his arms around the leopard. And he looks into the eyes of the leper and he sees the face of Jesus. Can we look at each other's faces and see Jesus? Back in the 4th century, the same kind of encounter happened to Martin of Tours, a Roman soldier and a Christian. One cold winter day, he was entering a city. A beggar stopped him and asked for alms. Well, Martin had no money, but there the beggar was blue and shivering with cold. So Martin took off his soldier's coat and gave it to the beggar. That night, Martin had a dream of heaven with Jesus surrounded by angels and wearing half of a Roman soldier's coat. And the angel asked him, "Why? Why are you wearing this battered old cloak?" And Jesus answered, "Because Martin shared his cloak with me." Simple little treats, simple little pleasures can go a long way. A man by the name of James Suffren was discussing over lunch one day and talking about experiencing God, waking up every morning and knowing that God was with him as he slept, and God is with him now. And he said he needed to get his mind off of himself. He needed to help the hungry. He needed to help the hurting. He needed to help the lonely. And because of that, he grew in his faith. Let's face it, babies need love. Children need love. Teens need love. People in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s and even those who are a century all need love. And it's free. Absolutely free. How great is the love of the Father who has lavished on us that we shall be called children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus appears, listen to this, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, face to face. And this is his command, to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he has given us. So in conclusion, again, way back in the Old Testament, but lovely words. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. Have you ever wanted to hear the voice of God? We shall, someday. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, and I will call on him as long as I live. Yes, the cords of death have entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. But then I stopped, and I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. I was in great need, and he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul. Psalm 121, in conclusion. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a treasure God gives us. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.